As the new school year begins, many working parents are scrambling to find a safe and stimulating place for their kids to go after school each day. After-school programs are expanding, but they remain out of reach for many low- and moderate-income parents. Experts estimate that at least 2 million children in elementary and junior high schools wind up being left alone at home. NPR's David Molpes reports on how parents in Boston are dealing with the after-school care dilemma.
A while back, someone coined the phrase the 3 o'clock syndrome, referring to the alleged downturn in worker productivity in mid-afternoon. Michelle Seligson explains.
At 3 o'clock, when school's out and children are on their way home, lots of moms and dads rush to the phone at their workplaces to call and make sure their children are safe, that nothing happened to them on the way home.
Seligson is director of the School Age Child Care Project at Wellesley College in Massachusetts and a pioneer in the field. She says even more parents today are working and worrying about their kids.
Parents are afraid for their children because they may not be safe if they're on their own after school. They may get into trouble. Bad influences may reach them. And a lot of children may be quite lonely and bored and sad that they're on their own.
In this respect, the city of Boston is not much different from most other urban settings. Most working parents rely on a fragile patchwork system of home-based after-school care. For the working poor, there's usually not much option but to use a combination of relatives, neighbors, or older siblings to watch the kids when they get home from school, or the children are left on their own. As in other communities, the demand in Boston for formal after-school programs is high, and the supply is short. There are more than 50,000 children, ages 5 through 14, in Boston, but places for only 3,000 in licensed, structured after-school programs. All this creates a lot of stress for parents like Anna Sombrano, who has
2 children who would be in school and therefore would need after-school care because I work full-time.
Even if Sombrano, an immigrant from Colombia, could find a program, she couldn't afford it. She earns too much to be eligible for any government child care subsidy, but not enough to afford the typical cost of $50 to $60 a week per child for after-school care. So she's had to look for another option.
Without breaking our finances.
Sombrano and another family are pooling their funds to pay for after-school care in her home. She says she feels lucky because the babysitter is someone she knows and trusts. But this arrangement is only for 3 days a week. That's all Sombrano's budget would allow. She plans to stay home from work one day a week, but that still leaves one school day uncovered. As she puts it, the problem is floating.
It's still in the air. We'll figure something out.
Living with uncertainty around after-school care takes a different twist for Pamela Davis. For her, cost is not the problem, it's transportation.
It's looking like my 5-year-old may have to do a lot of different transitions during the day.
About half of Boston's elementary schools don't open until 9:20 in the morning. But Pamela Davis needs to be at work by 8, so she's arranged for her daughter to attend a before-school program at the YMCA at 7:30 a.m.
She will be dropped off there, and then she'll be transported to school. And then from school, she'll be transported back there in the afternoon, which is a lot.
Who does that transporting?
That's another problem I'm having right now, figuring out exactly how that's going to be done.
Finding school-age care is a dilemma of quality for other parents like Nancy Amatafar. She has an 8-year-old boy, could afford a program's cost, and has transportation, but has kept her boy at home after school.
I did some looking around at programs in my neighborhood and really didn't feel comfortable having my child in any of the programs. The programming didn't look that exciting. Sometimes the facilities were shoddy and kind of depressing. And also, many of the programs have very little diversity.
Dissatisfied with the way things are, all 3 of these parents started working in their neighborhoods to increase the supply of affordable, quality school-age care. They are part of a 1,700-member multiracial grassroots organization in Boston called Parents United for Child Care. They've helped start and fund programs throughout Boston, effectively lobbied politicians to focus on the issue, and attracted recognition from outside the state. The commitment of parents like these led the DeWitt Wallace Reader's Digest Fund to select Boston, along with Seattle and Chicago, to share a $6 million grant for before and after school programs. The grant, called the MOST Project, is expected to expand Boston's capacity by 50% over 3 years. It's also aimed at facilitating the sharing of after-school care resources, services, and information citywide. Child care researcher Ellen Gannett of Wellesley College.
The MOST initiative is a wonderful example of how a whole city can come together and start thinking about developing a system for out-of-school care. So it isn't piecemeal. Then it gets off the shoulders of the individual program or the individual parent and then becomes a community issue.
Parents United and the MOST Project are working not just to provide safe havens for children when school is out, but to expand programs that challenge the mind, like this one that serves Asian American kids in Boston. The day we visited the program, all the first through eighth graders were playing chess. On other days, Chinese history and culture are stressed, along with homework. All the teachers speak English and at least one dialect of Chinese. Former after-school student Janine Wong says the program was the key to her success in school.
When, you know, I didn't get my homework, my parents didn't know English. So having a program like this, it got me through first grade through ninth grade and understanding things. And it also helped my parents because it kept them on track. Yes, they couldn't talk to my teacher, so they can help, you know, for both of us.
The drawback is that most high-quality after-school programs can handle only a few children. This one, which operates out of a church basement, has space for only 24 kids. One of the solutions, say after-school care advocates, is to use the facilities of the public schools.
Schools ought to be family-friendly.
Elaine Fersch is director of Parents United.
Clearly we need their space, and space is a big issue. Lots of teachers and principals are very territorial. Not in my room. Not in my building, you know, as if they personally own the building. Amazing.
But, Fersch says, that attitude is beginning to change. Mason Elementary in the Roxbury section of Boston has opened its doors to children after school and during the summers, and plans are underway for a before-school program as well. School principal Mary Russo says students use the time to learn about music and the arts. In addition, as Russo loves to brag, these mostly poor minority children are offered fencing lessons taught by an Olympic fencing champion. There's even an aviators club with weekly instruction from volunteer pilots.
And they talk to the children about flight and flying. They show them videos. They took them on a field trip to the Museum of Science. They even contacted Boston Helicopter Company and had a helicopter come to the field, right in the inner city, in the field across from the school, so that the children could climb aboard and see what a helicopter was like.
Russo says she's managed this by carving out funds from other parts of the school budget, getting grants from foundations, developing partnerships with local businesses. The after-school staff all come from the school's regular faculty, volunteering their time for a small stipend instead of their usual union pay scale. This keeps costs to these low-income parents well below normal rates. Success, Russo says, is mainly a matter of attitude.
We have no magic formula here. We get as much funds as any other Boston public school our size. If we have managed to do it, then other schools can do it.
Child care advocates are encouraged by what's happening in Boston and by several other parent-led efforts around the country, but they say a lot more is needed. Again, Michelle Seligson, founder of the National School Age Child Care Project.
Parents can't do all this alone. There has to be more public and private investments in after-school programs. The whole community needs to work together on this problem.
Or as one Boston parent says, it's time educators and other public officials acknowledge that school schedules of the 1950s no longer meet the needs of children or of working parents. The mayor of Boston, Thomas Menino, promises to use his office as a bully pulpit on the subject. After-school care is not a luxury, he says, but the heart and soul of what kids need today. I'm David Malpas reporting.